Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to talk about training. One of the reasons why I want to do this is because I'm super busy learning new things and having to kind of refocus what I want to or what I have to learn in terms of work and other things I would like to do. And when you look at security, it's very different from what you might see in traditional IT. Like if you're doing general IT stuff, server administration, network engineering, help desk type stuff. And we've talked about these kind of things before, but I think a lot of times people don't really realize how different these things are and how much you end up having to do when you're trying to learn some of this stuff. And unfortunately, some of it has to be learned on the job.
Okay, but let me ask you something, though. You've always wanted to get into security. You finally get a security job. How tough is that transition?
It's interesting because I'm on the sort of auditing side of things. And so that's a bit different. But let's go over some of the topics I want to talk about today so you can kind of get an idea of where we're going to go with this. So there's a CISSP. I need to have that. We've talked about that before. I need that for work purposes. Pen testing is another thing I have to go into. Risk assessments, we do those. And then keeping up with certifications. So all of that is interesting because if you talk to people who do general IT stuff, you know, server administration, network engineering, help desk, this isn't part of that. You know, what is a risk assessment? What's in the CISSP? And then some people will look at the CISSP and go, well, that's not for me. And maybe it's not because it has nothing to do with, you know, server administration, network engineering, none of that stuff. So one thing that I have always had an issue with is where do you go for training? Now, anti-siphon training is the place that I've been going to. That's where John Strand does his intro to security classes. They've got new ones out there. When I started going there, they didn't have a lot. They had the intro to security courses and there were other things in there. But at the time, I thought to myself, this isn't going to be for me because it was too, I wasn't ready for that, right? Because a lot of the training that I did was with SANS and that was great, learned a lot of things. But then if you don't use it,
you lose it.
It goes away. So that's one of the reasons why I spent so much time going back over the basics. And that was good because I needed to do that. I needed to sort of refresh and learn some of the things I had forgotten. And the intro to security courses that he has, there's like three of them that kind of get you to where you need to be before you can go to the other ones. Because if you're brand new to security, you don't want to jump into some of the ones I'm going to be talking about because these are more advanced. I had to do those courses because, like you said, use it or lose it. And then there were some things that I had forgotten. Because when you're doing general IT stuff, which is what I was doing, server administration, network engineering, you don't use this kind of stuff. It's you know, me.
I mean, you're aware that is there and that it needs to be done, but you're not the one doing what needs to be done for it to get done.
Well, you're aware that these things are there. Like when you do general IT, you're aware that there is this thing called security. You kind of do some stuff to help with that where you have, you know, antivirus installed or endpoint protection installed or, you know, things like that. But when you're getting into security, it's a whole different world. And there's all these other things that you have to begin to think about and make sure that are there. Things like the critical security controls, there's frameworks you can follow other than the critical security controls. You get into things like risk assessments, business impact analysis. There's all this other stuff out there that may be part of things like the CISSP. And you don't see those in general IT. So it's really kind of hard to get an idea of what's going on in the security world when you're stuck in server administration or network engineering, and you don't see the other side of security. You may have some of the controls in place with you know, switching and routing and other stuff on the network engineering side of things. Firewalls is a big deal. But there's more to security than just firewall rules, right? And so that's where I'm at and trying to keep up with all this stuff, which is fine. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I wanted to learn more about. And now I have a position where I can do that kind of thing. But with the anti-siphon training, there is intro to pen testing with John Strand. I signed up for that one. Now, these are kind of expensive. So it's not pay what you can. They're about $500 and some dollars. But when you are looking out there for other places to get training from, where are you going to go? You know, I mean, there's SANS, and then there's some other people out there that, provide, or other organizations out there that provide training, but it's going to be expensive. And I like the way that John teaches his courses. I like the idea behind his training.
And you're hands-on to where you actually try what you're learning in you know, for people. You know, you can learn one thing, but if you don't try it or play with it, then you really don't have any idea, or something may come up that you may not be able to ask a question if you don't get to do that kind of thing.
Right. Now, the intro to Pentesting with John Strand is for me, I was looking for a step-by-step process, and there isn't such a thing, really. But he kind of goes into, why are we doing pen testing? What are some of the things you have to do when you're doing a pen test? There's a report that you're going to end up having to write. So he talks about those kinds of things. So there's a lot of things in there that I think some people would be surprised by, but they're part of the process. So I've already seen some of his videos. They're really good. I like that. I whipped through some of them pretty quickly, because one of the things I'm going to do with this particular course is run through it quickly and then go back around and look for the things that I think I need work on, right? And focus on the issues that I have and build on those. But it's really well done. He's always doing good stuff. But one of the things I will say is that these are more advanced. So I do have a background in some of these things. I did take his other courses for intro to security and that kind of thing. So I have a background in this kind of stuff. So for me, there is a little bit of review, but there's also a lot of stuff in there that's like, oh yeah, I need to remember that.
So what would you recommend to someone that doesn't have your kind of background that, you know, for them it wouldn't be a little bit of review? How do they prep themselves for a course like this?
So what you do is you go back and you take his other courses. You take his intro to security
courses. Those are
the
three ones that you were talking about.
Yeah. So so I'll put links in the show notes to those courses. We can take a look at those if you're brand new to this kind of thing. But that's the one class that I'm looking at right now. And then, of course, there are others in here that I'm looking at. I also have access to the Red Team getting access. This is another pen testing class. I did pay for that one. It is not one of those pay what you can courses. So again, it's expensive, but again, it's a whole lot cheaper than going to like a SANS. I mean, their prices are outrageous. Granted, it's a week's worth of training, but these are on demand, and they're really good for what you're paying. These are really, really good, and the training is really good. So.
And we're not affiliated with them. We just really believe that they're doing a really good job, you know, for the IT community, and what they're putting out is quality.
It is. It is. And then we have the CISSP course that they have. And this is the Professional Evil CISSP Membership Program. So this is kind of interesting. I don't know why they called it evil. I haven't subscribed to this one yet. I'm looking into that. It is not $500 like the other ones are. It's a little bit less than that. The CISSP is something that I think you need to have at least some experience in IT before you go to try and take this. And then, of course, there is a requirement that you have a certain number of years of experience in IT and security before you can actually get the certification, because you got to pass the test. Somebody else has to sign off on that for you. Some of these security certifications require you to go and ask management or somebody else who has the certification to say, yes, you are a valid CISSP person, like you have experience. And then you submit that to the organization, and the organization says, hey, here you go, here's your certificate.
And how often do you have to renew them?
These are certifications that require you to get CPEs, right?
Oh, okay.
And I always forget what CPE stands for. It's like continuing professional education credits or something like that.
Yeah, they're points that they give you when you attend certain classes, or like with ISACA, I believe that they did some of that, right?
Yeah, so you need, what they want you to do is they want you to prove that you are going for new training, right? That you're not, oh, I took the cert, I'm done, and then you don't know anything else because you're not paying attention to what's going on in security. You're not paying attention to the new technologies, the new tools. They want you to be paying attention to what's going on in security, because that changes all the time.
Oh, it changes fast too.
So there's a lot of stuff going on with the anti-siphon training. They're adding a lot of new stuff to it. when I took John's intro to security courses, they didn't have a whole lot. And again, I wasn't ready for the other ones that he did have, but there wasn't a whole lot there. Now there's a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, they're adding stuff a lot. So that's nice to see. They're not overly expensive. Yes, it does cost something, but when you compare that to what else is out there, it's a no-brainer. You know, I would love to go to another SANS event. Love the format, love the trainers. They're all really good, but man, is it expensive. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I keep going back to them, is because their courses are at least affordable. And the intro to security stuff that John does is really, really good. And I believe he does have some of them on demand now, so you don't have to do the live training. I think if you're first starting out, the live training's great because you sort of have to have this ability to do training on demand, because that's self-motivated. And I think in one of John's courses that I took, he mentioned something about that, where it's better to do live than to do on demand, because that's where a lot of people just, they can't do it. They're not.
No, they just, maybe they don't assess their time or slot their time out and put, or be consistent with doing it. You know, it's a lot easier when you know it's live and you have to be there to be able to be on it, don't you think?
It is. And it's a challenge trying to do things on your own. I've found a way to make it work. Doesn't always work for me. Lately, it's been a bit of a challenge, but it's something that I have done, especially when you do even some of the SANS courses I've done on demand. And so that's, you know, it's a lot of information you got to absorb, and then you got to prep for the cert, and then you got to go take it. But you just have to have the discipline to be able to do that. And also, I think you also have to have some experience in IT, so that when you're going to take these courses, you're not totally blind. You have no idea what they're talking about. If you're in a situation where you have no idea what they're going to be talking about in the class, you may not want to do that on demand, because that's going to be tricky. You're going to be looking at stuff and you're going to go, what is this? I can't make sense of any of it. That's where you're going to get yourself into trouble. Let's briefly talk about the CISSP, because I think this is something that some people sort of, they don't think it's worth anything, or they don't understand why you would take that or what it's all about. This is more of a certification that you take when you want to learn how to keep an organization secure. You're not going to be the one implementing the security, but you're going to be the one maybe managing some of that, where you're thinking about controls, technologies. You're looking at the CIA triad. You're looking at data, who has access to data, how are you going to protect that data? You're going to look at how things impact the organization. There's a lot of organizational things you're going to think about. So there's a tech piece to it, and there's a business piece to it. And then there's a risk piece to it as well, because that's how you're going to do your security. You're looking at the risks, the impact to the organization. You're looking at the controls you need to have to minimize risk. And that's a different way of thinking. And sometimes people will look at that and go, well, what does that have to do with me? I'm a server admin. Well, then of course it doesn't have anything to do with you. But there are people that I have talked to who would like to be more on the security side. They're more focused on pen testing. Well, the CISSP is not focused on pen testing. It's managing securities, what you're going to be doing with that. In my case, I need that not just for the cert, but the knowledge that is in there is going to help me understand things better as well. I do have some, you know, background in some of this, because it kind of, there are other things I have studied for that sort of are similar to the CISSP. So I'm not going into this thing totally blind. I do have a background in some of this stuff.
So are you, as an auditor, are you looking both at the technology part of it as well as the business part? Is that what your job would be?
Yes.
So that explains why they really want you to take that.
Yeah. And then I also need the CISSP if I want to do other kinds of auditing, because some auditing requires you to have certain certifications. And in this case, some of them require you to have the CISSP. So that's one reason why I have to have that. Now, if we look at pen testing is interesting in that you are not just, you know, clicking buttons to manage a server. We're not just setting up switches and routers and things like that. You need to understand how some of that stuff works underneath the hood, where You're looking at protocols, you're looking at services, you're looking at you know, how these things function, more of an in-depth process of understanding that, so that you can kind of take some of these tools they have out there and use those to probe these different things and figure out, okay, is there a vulnerability here? If there is a vulnerability, how do I take advantage of that vulnerability? You're also going to think about, how was that technology implemented? And are there any weaknesses within that technology? Because if you're going to do a pen test, you also have to think about, you know, if you weren't able to get in, what are some things you're going to do to, like, if we were to pen test ourselves, right? Section9.us. You know, we look at the organization, we do a pen test, whether that's external, internal, looking at cloud. If we don't get in, that's great. But are there things that we find along the way that we could improve? Are there things that we find along the way that we say, oh, we do have 2FA, and then when you analyze that, you realize, well, that's not really 2FA, you know, so.
So I guess my question is this. When you're looking at knowing how, you were talking about, you have to know how things work and how things are implemented, right? In order for you to be able to do this pen testing thing. So you got to have an understanding of how things work and how they're configured, and then how they were deployed. So then in that way, you can just say, okay, this is how I'm going to secure it. Otherwise, you can be looking at something. If you don't know how it works or how it was implemented, it may be that there is something wrong with the way that it is, and that's why people can get in.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on here, and we'll cover this.
I was just trying to understand it.
No, well, but that's the thing. It's not. So like, if we put together a Windows 10 machine or a Windows 11 machine, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a process you follow. Typically, in a larger organization, you're going to have a process you follow. But even if you do like the basic, right? You install Windows 10, you're done, right? Well, there may be things within the Windows 10 system that are not secure because the default configuration is not secure. So understanding what some of those things might be is going to help you understand how you might break into that system. But it's not something that somebody at a help desk might be thinking about, right? They may not understand some of these things. Or if you're looking at the protocols you're using within a Windows environment, you know, file sharing, SMB shares, you know, Active Directory. What are some things you can do to attack those kinds of things or gain information from those kinds of things? And that's where understanding the protocols or things of that nature help you. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about because it's not part of their day-to-day operation, right? They're not looking at packet headers. They're not looking at protocols. They're not looking at vulnerabilities. They're just setting up Windows 10, setting up servers, adding users to Active Directory. But there are things that are happening on the network in terms of network traffic, the shares, all of that stuff that could potentially give somebody access to things they shouldn't have access to in ways that you don't, you know, you're using these things in ways that were not intended. And that
gives, so you're not just looking at the vulnerabilities. You're actually, you know, the reason why you need to look at the implementation and maybe the configuration or how the whole thing was set up was that you can look at the vulnerability and say, yeah, I can get in through this. But also you could look at the vulnerability of what they have in place and realize, oh, wait a minute, they don't have 2FA. That's a vulnerability. It's not, you know, it's just how they have it set up or implemented. That could be one thing or another. So I guess I understand then why they wouldn't have a step-by-step. But I think the step-by-step in my head would be like, do they have the basic you know, security that could keep you, you know, on the better side of things, because there is not such a thing as totally bulletproof security. You're going to be secure, but it's never going to be so secure, because if it is that secure, people can't use the system. So when you're looking at it and you're looking at, oh, okay, I'm going to have to do, let's say, pen testing or an audit or something, you're looking at like, okay, let's check, first of all, that basic security has been implemented. Because if they don't have 2FA, that's, you know, I'm just using that as an example. Or how would you just write your own step-by-step to be able to do a good job when somebody, you know, when your boss says to you, okay, you need to do this and see how secure they are, and you need to put this in a report. Where do you begin?
Well, that's the thing. And that's the stuff that is very different from general IT. So when you come out of general IT type stuff, you're doing your network engineering, your server administration. Now, granted, when you get to a certain level in network engineering or server administration, I've seen some of this in some places. You know, when I was working for the ISP doing network engineering, I thought, oh, I'm good. And then you see the experts do it and you're like, wow, they're doing stuff that I never even heard of. So there is that. But when you go to the security side, nobody's talking about this kind of stuff in those environments, right? The risk assessments, the pen testing stuff that you're going to be doing, and kind of stuff that you're talking about. Because when you look at the organization as a whole and you look at the risks they may have in there where you're missing 2FA, well, if I'm a pen tester, then maybe I take advantage of that missing 2FA and try to log into something. So those are the kinds of things that you have to think about. And I do need, or you should have, some things that you think are going to be like, hey, I'm going to make sure that I do these 5 or 6 things in all of my pen tests, because I think these 5 or 6 things must be there. They have to be part of the process. And then as I'm going through learning about the organization, I'm going to add other things to that list as I go.
Right, because I just don't think they can come up with a step-by-step process, because every organization is going to have different data and different needs. So you're going to have to look at it on a case-by-case basis when it comes to the more, I guess, advanced security. Like the basics should be pretty much everybody should have, you know, good security basics. But then, you know, when you're looking at other things that you're trying to do, every organization may be different. And that's probably why they can't just say, okay, this is a step-by-step on how you check for the security things and do the pen testing. You wouldn't be able to do that.
No, you can't. And you can kind of sort of have a step-by-step process, but you need to be flexible enough to say, okay, this environment's different. I need to do different things.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a lot. And I think that, you know, one of the things I'm trying to figure out how to do is to make sure I get all of this stuff, you know, find time to make sure all of this stuff happens. It's a lot. And I tend to be one of those people that, you know, once I go down something, it's like, oh, let's bring it all in. Let's go all in. And then I have, you know, I've done this in the past where I've had, you know, a couple of classes back to back or a couple of classes on top of each other, and they were supposed to be live from Anti-Siphon, and I didn't take them because it was like you scheduled it in a way that you just didn't have time to take that. So I ended up missing out on some of that stuff. And so for me, the on-demand stuff from them is the only way I can really do this. And then one thing that I did find kind of interesting, when you sign up for their courses, it actually does say in their lifetime access. So that to me is huge. And I don't know what they mean by lifetime access. That's always kind of a thing. But if I get a year out of the thing, that's huge. Right,
especially for the price tag.
Yes, a lot of organizations don't do that. So, you know, you pay for the training, you get the week, and maybe they give you access to some of that stuff for a brief period after the fact, but then they cut you off. Right, that's it, you're done. So, I think that what they're doing is awesome. And what I'm trying to do now is figure out how do I schedule things so that I can make all of this happen. And I need to have my CISP sooner than later. So, you know, there's a process to all of this that I have to sort of figure out in terms of, you know, how many hours in the day do I have to make sure I get this stuff done? And we're lucky because we also have our VMware environment. We can do labs in there. We've talked about that before. But it's a lot, right? And there's a lot of things. And that's what makes security so hard, is that you kind of have to understand bits and pieces of this. How do you audit, let's say, for example, Microsoft 365, if you've never seen Microsoft 365. How do you audit Active Directory if you've never seen Active Directory? You know, these are things that you know, so you have to have, if you're not expert, you have to have at least some idea of what Microsoft 365 has, where in Microsoft 365 are you going to go, what kinds of things should you be looking for, what are some things that you're expecting as an auditor to have implemented, right? Two-factor authentication is one. Maybe you want them to have retention policies in place for backups of their stuff in the cloud. So those are some things that you might want to think about when you're auditing the cloud. But if you don't know those things exist, how are you going to know to ask for those things? So that's what makes security so difficult. And then, of course, every day something new comes up. There's a new vulnerability. There's a new attack. You got to pay attention to these things. And so...
But what is the thing that you find the most challenging or the most overwhelming when it comes to security?
Just trying to keep up with all the stuff that's out there, you know, all the tools that are there, the knowledge you have, the frameworks that are out there. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. And it's all a challenge because it's all kind of coming at you all at once. So, you know, that's, for me, I find it interesting. But it is a challenge. And so I'm at this point now where I'm trying to figure out how do I make this work for me and I don't kill myself in the process.
Yeah, you got to come up with a system that is effective for you.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I think that's it for now. I think we're going to kind of continue down this path. Kind of sorry we haven't been doing shows on a regular basis, but we're going to try to work on that. Again, I'm swamped with all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But it does make it easy for us to come up with topics because there's so much stuff in all of this. And sometimes I get overwhelmed that I'm looking at this and going, what do I pick as one little thing to talk about?
Right. And the thing that we don't want to do is like an empty show to talk for the sake of talking. We want to make sure that the content is something that it's valuable and it helps people.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at support@section9.us. If you want to take a look at our show notes, they'll be on our website. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.